Continuing in A Few Sighs in Hell, Part 2. Now, if this one truth that men must die and depart this world and either enter into joy or else into prison to be reserved to the day of judgment were believed, we should not have so many wontons walk up and down the streets as there do. At least it would put a mighty check to their filthy carriages so that they would not, could not walk so basely and sinfully as they do. Belshazzar, notwithstanding he was so far from the fear of God as he was, yet when he did but see that God was offended and threatened him for his wickedness, it made him hang down his head and knock his knees together. Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. If you read the verses before, you will find he was careless and satisfying his lusts in drinking and playing the wanton with his concubines. But so soon as he did perceive the finger of a handwriting, then, saith the scripture, the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And when Paul told Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it made him tremble. And let me tell thee, soul, whosoever thou art, that if thou didst but verily believe that thou must die and come into the judgment, it would make thee turn over a new leaf. But this is the misery. The devil doth labor by all means as to keep out other things that are good, so to keep out of the heart as much as in him lies the thoughts of passing from this life into another world. For he knows, if he can but keep them from the serious thoughts of death, he shall the more easily keep them in their sins, and so from closing with Jesus Christ. As Job saith, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Which makes them say to God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Job chapter 21, verse 14. Because there is no fear of death and judgment to come, therefore they do put off God and his ways, and spend their days in their sins, and in a moment, that is, before they are aware, go down to the grave. Job chapter 21, verse 17. And thus it fared also with the man spoken of in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. The man, instead of thinking of death, he thought how he might make his barns bigger. But in the midst of his business in the world, he lost his soul before he was aware, supposing that death had been many years off. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou troublest thyself about the things of this life. Thou puttest off the thoughts of departing this world, but this night thy soul shall be taken from thee, or this night they, that is the devil, will fetch away thy soul from thee. And here it comes to pass, men's not being exercised with the thoughts of departing this life, that they are, so unexpectedly to themselves and their neighbors, taken away from the pleasures and profits, yea, and all the enjoyments they busy themselves with all while they live in this world. And hence it is again that you have some in your towns and cities that are so suddenly taken away, some from haunting the alehouses, others from haunting the whorehouses, others from playing and gaming, others from the cares and covetous desires after this world, unlooked for as by themselves or their companions. Hence it is also that men do so wonder at such tidings as this. There is such a one dead, such a one has departed. It is because they do so little consider both the transitoriness of themselves and their neighbors. For had they but their thoughts well exercised about the shortness of this life and the danger that will befall such as do miss of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would make them more wary and sober, and spend more time in the service of God, and to be more delighted and diligent in inquiring after the Lord Jesus, who is the deliverer from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. For as I said before, it is evident that they who live after the flesh and the lusts thereof do not really and seriously think on death and the judgment that doth follow after, neither do they indeed endeavor so to do. Or did they, It would make them say with holy Job, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job 14:14. And as I said before, that not only the wicked, but also the godly have their time to depart this life. And the beggar died. The saints of the Lord, they must be deprived of this life also. They must yield up the ghost into the hands of the Lord their God. They must also be separated from their wives, children, husbands, friends, goods, and all that they have in the world. For God hath decreed it. It is appointed, namely by the Lord, for men once to die, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as it is. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. But it may be objected, if the godly do die as well as the wicked, and if the saints must appear before the judgment seat as well as the sinners, then what advantage have the godly more than the ungodly? And how can the saints be in a better condition than the wicked? Answer. Read the 22nd verse over again, and you will find a marvelous difference between them, as much as it is between heaven and hell, everlasting joy and everlasting torments. For you find that when the beggar died, which represents the godly, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or into everlasting joy, Psalm 1. But the ungodly are not so, but are hurried by the devils into the bottomless pit, drawn away in their wickedness, Proverbs 14:32. For he saith, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. When the ungodly do die, their misery beginneth. For then appear the devils, like so many lions, waiting every moment till the soul depart from the body. Sometimes they are very visible to the dying party, but sometimes more invisible. But always this is certain, they never miss of the soul if it do die out of the Lord Jesus Christ, but do hale it away to the prison, as I said before, there to be tormented and reserved until that great and general day of judgment, at which they must, body and soul, receive a final sentence from the righteous judge, and from that time be shut out from the presence of God into everlasting woe and distress. But the godly, when the time of their departure is at hand, then also are the angels of the Lord at hand. Yea, they are ready, waiting upon the soul to conduct it safe into Abraham's bosom. I do not say, but the devils are oftentimes very busy, doubtless, and attending the saints in their sickness. Aye, and no question, but they would willingly deprive the soul of glory. But here is the comfort. As the devils come from hell to devour the soul, if it be possible, at its departure, so the angels of the Lord come from heaven to watch over and conduct the soul, in spite of the devil, safe into Abraham's bosom. David had the comfort of this, and speaks it forth for the comfort of his brethren, Psalm 34:7, saying, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Mark, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about his children to deliver them. From what? From their enemies, of which the devil is not the least. This is an excellent comfort at any time to have the holy angels of God to attend a poor man or woman. But especially, it is comfortable in the time of distress, at the time of death, when the devils beset the soul with all the power that hell can afford them. But now it may be that the glorious angels of God do not appear, at the first, to the view of the soul, nay, rather hell stands before it, and the devils ready, as if they would carry it thither. But this is the comfort. The angels do always appear at the last, and will not fail the soul, but will carry it safe into Abraham's bosom. Ah, friends, consider. Here is an ungodly man upon his deathbed. He hath none to speak for him, none to speak comfort unto him. But it is not so with the children of God, for they have the Spirit to comfort them. Here is the ungodly. and they have no Christ to pray for their safe conduct to glory, but the saints have an intercessor. John 17, verse 9. Here is the world. When they die, they have none of the angels of God to attend upon them, but the saints have their company. In a word, the unconverted person, when he dies, he sinks into the bottomless pit, but the saints, when they die, do ascend with and by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or into unspeakable glory. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Again, it is said that the rich man, when he died, was buried or put into the earth. But when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The one is a very excellent style, where he saith he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. It denotes the excellent condition of the saints of God, as I said before, and not only so, but also the preciousness of the death of the saints in the eyes of the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 15. That after generations may see how precious in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints is, when he saith, they are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Thus many times the Lord adorneth the death and departure of his saints, to hold forth unto after generations how excellent they are in his eyes. It is said of Enoch that God took him, of Abraham, that he died in a good old age, of Moses, that the Lord buried him, of Elijah, that he was taken up into heaven, that the saints sleep in Jesus, that they die in the Lord, that they rest from their labor, that their works follow them, that they are under the altar, that they are with Christ, that they are in light, that they are to come with the Lord Jesus to judge the world, all which sayings signify thus much, that to die a saint is a very great honor and dignity. But the ungodly are not so. The rich or ungodly die and are buried. He is carried from his dwelling to the grave, and there he is buried, hid in the dust, and his body doth not so fast molder and come to naught there, but his name doth stink as fast in the world, as saith the Holy Scripture. The name of the wicked shall rot, Proverbs 10, verse 7. And indeed, the names of the godly are not so much in so much honor after their departure, but the wicked in their names do as much rot. What a dishonor to posterity was the death of Balaam, Agag, Ahithophel, Haman, Judas, Herod, with the rest of their companions. Thus the wicked have their names written in the earth, and they do perish and rot, and the name of the saints do cast forth a dainty savor to the following generations, or to following generations. And that the Lord Jesus doth signify where he saith, the godly are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and that the wicked are nothing worth, where he saith the ungodly die and are buried. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The former verse speaks only of the departure of the ungodly out of this life, together with the glorious conduct that the godly have into the kingdom of their Father. Now our Lord doth show in this verse partly what doth and shall befall to the reprobate after this life is ended, where he saith, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. That is, the ungodly, after they depart this life, do lift up their eyes in hell. From these words may be observed these things. First, that there is a hell for souls to be tormented in when this life is ended. Mark, after he was dead and buried, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Second, that all that are ungodly and do live and die in their sins, so soon as ever they die, they go into hell. He died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. third, that some are so fast asleep and secure in their sins that they scarce know well where they are till they come into hell. And that I gather from these words. In hell he lifted up his eyes. He was asleep before, but hell makes him lift up his eyes. First, as I said before, it is evident that there is a hell for souls, yea, and bodies too, to be tormented in after they depart this life, as is clear, first, because the Lord Jesus Christ, that cannot lie, did say that after the sinner was dead and buried, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, if it be objected that by hell is here meant the grave, that I plainly deny. Number one, because there the body is not sensible of torment or ease, but in that hell into which the spirits of the damned depart, they are sensible of torment, and would very willingly be freed from it, to enjoy ease which they are sensible of the want of, as is clearly discovered in this parable. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Number two, it is not meant the grave, but some other place, because the bodies, so long as they lie there, are not capable of lifting up their eyes to see the glorious condition of the children of God, as the souls of the damned do. In hell he lifted up his eyes. Number three, it cannot be the grave, for then it must follow that the soul was buried there with the body, which cannot stand with such a dead state as is here mentioned. For he saith, the rich man died, that is, his soul was separated from his body. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. If it be again objected that there is no hell but in this life, that I do also deny. That I do also deny, as I said before. After he was dead and buried, in hell he lifted up his eyes. And let me tell thee, O soul, whoever thou art, that if thou close not in savingly with the Lord Jesus Christ, and lay hold on what he hath done and is doing in his own person for sinners, thou wilt find such a hell after this life is ended, that thou wilt not get out of again forever and ever. And thou that art wanton, and dost make but a mock at the servants of the Lord, when they tell thee of the torments of hell, thou wilt find that when thou departest out of this life, that hell, even the hell which is after this life, will meet thee in thy journey thither, and will, with its hellish crew, give thee such a sad salutation that thou wilt not forget it to all eternity. When that scripture comes to be fulfilled on thy soul, in Isaiah 14, verses 9 and 10, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they, that is, that are in hell, shall say, art thou also become as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Oh, sometimes, when I have had the thoughts of going to hell and consider the everlastingness of their ruin that falleth thither, it hath stirred me up rather to seek to the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me from thence than to slide it and make a mock at it. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Second, the second thing I told you was this, that all the ungodly that live and die in their sins, so soon as ever they depart this life, do descend into hell. This is also verified by the words in this parable, where Christ said, he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. As the tree falls, so it shall be, whether it be to heaven or hell, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. And as Christ said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, even so, the devil in the like manner may say unto thy soul, tomorrow shalt thou be with me in hell. See then what a miserable case he that dies in an unregenerate state is in. He departs from a long sickness to a longer hell, from the grippings of death to the everlasting torments of hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Ah, friends, if you were but yourselves, you would have a care of your souls. If you did but regard, you would see how mad they are that slight the salvation of their souls. Oh, what will it profit thy soul to have pleasure in this life and torments in hell? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Thou hadst better part with all thy sins and pleasures and companions, or whatsoever thou delightest in, than to have soul and body to be cast into hell. O then do not now neglect our Lord Jesus Christ, lest thou drop down to hell. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Consider, would it not wound thee to thine heart to come upon thy deathbed, and instead of having the comfort of a well-spent life and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, together with the comforts of his glorious Spirit, to have, first in the sight of an ill-spent life, thy sins flying in thy face, thy conscience uttering itself with thunder clasps against thee, the thoughts of God terrifying of thee, death with his merciless paw seizing upon thee, the devil standing ready to scramble for thy soul, and hell enlarging herself and ready to swallow thee up, and an eternity of misery and torment attending upon thee from which there will be no release. For mark, death does not come alone to an unconverted soul, but with such company as, wast thou but sensible of it, would make thee tremble. I pray, consider that scripture, Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold the pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Mark, death doth not come alone to the ungodly, no, but hell goeth with him. O miserable comforters! O miserable society! Here comes death and hell unto thee. Death goeth into thy body, and separates body and soul asunder. Hell stands without, as I may say, to embrace, or rather, to crush thy soul between its everlasting grinders. Then thy mirth, thy joy, thy sinful delights will be ended when this comes to pass. Lo, it will come. Blessed are all those that through Jesus Christ, his merits, by faith, do escape these soul-murdering companions. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Third. The third thing, you know, that we did observe from these words was this, that some are so fast asleep and secure in their sins that they scarcely know where they are until they come into hell. And that I told you, I gather by these words, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Mark, it was in hell that he lifted up his eyes. Now some do understand by these words that he came to himself, or began to consider with himself, or to think with himself in what an estate he was, and what he was deprived of, which is still a confirmation of the thing laid down by me. There it is, that they come to themselves, that is, there they are sensible where they are indeed. Thus it fares with some men, that they scarcely know where they are till they lift up their eyes in hell. It is with those people as with those that fall down in a swoon. You know, if a man do fall down in a swoon in one room, though you take him up and carry him into another, he is not sensible where he is till he cometh unto himself and lifteth up his eyes. Truly thus it is to be feared. It is with many poor souls. They are so senseless, so hard, so seared in their conscience, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that they are very ignorant of their state. And when death comes, it strikes them, as it were, into a swoon, especially if they die suddenly. And so they are hurried away and scarcely know where they are till in hell they lift up their eyes. This is he who dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. Job chapter 21, verse 23. Of this sort are they spoken of in Psalm 73, where he saith, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And again, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment, mark, in a moment, before they are aware, they go down to the grave. Job chapter 21, verse 13. Indeed, this is too much known by woeful and daily experience. Sometimes, when we go to visit them that are sick in the towns and places where we live, oh, how senseless, how seared in their consciences are they! They are neither sensible of heaven nor of hell, of sin nor of a Savior. Speak to them of their condition and the state of their souls, and you shall find them as ignorant as if they had no souls to regard. Others, though they lie ready to die, yet they are busying themselves about in their outward affairs as though they should certainly live here, even to live and enjoy the same forever. Again, come to others, speak to them about the state of their souls, though they have no more experience of the new birth than a beast. Yet will they speak as confidently of their eternal state and the welfare of their souls as if they had the most excellent experience of any man or woman in the world, saying, I shall have peace, Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. When, as I said even now, the Lord knows they are as ignorant of the new birth, of the nature and operation of faith, of the witness of the Spirit, as if there were no new birth, no faith, no witness of the Spirit of Christ in any of the saints in the world. Nay, thus many of them are, even an hour or less before their departure. Ah, poor souls! Though they may go away here like a lamb, as the world says, yet, if you could but follow them a little, to stand and listen soon after their departure, it is to be feared. You should hear them roar like a lion at their first entrance into hell, far worse than even did Korah, etc., when they went down quick into the ground. Number 16, verses 31 through 35. Now, by this one thing doth the devil take great advantage on the hearts of the ignorant, suggesting unto them that, because the party deceased departed so quietly, without all doubt, they are gone to rest and joy. When, alas, it is to be feared the reason why they went away so quietly was rather because they were senseless and hardened in their consciences, yea, dead before in sins and trespasses. For had they had but some awakenings on their deathbeds, as some have had, they would have made all the town to ring of their doleful condition. But because they are seared and ignorant, and depart so quietly, therefore the world takes heart at grass, as we used to say, and make no great matter of living and dying. They cannot tell how, therefore, pride compasseth them as a chain. Psalm 75, verse 6. But let them look to themselves. For if they have not an interest in the Lord Jesus now, while they live in the world, they will, whether they die raging or still, go unto the same place, and lifted up their eyes in hell. Oh, my friends, did you but know what a miserable condition they are, and that go out of this world without an interest in the Son of God, it would make you smite upon your thigh, and in the bitterness of your souls cry out, Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Acts chapter 16, verses 29 through 31.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary, Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.